What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 6 of The Wrestling Wire. I am your host, as always, Vinny Pasquarosa. Today's episode, we're not looking to go super long today. Just a quick episode before we get to the countdown to the Royal Rumble show, which will be on Saturday morning. I'm super pumped for that. We have a super cool agenda for that. And I'm super excited. So buckle up and get ready. If you're new here, welcome. Our agenda is we recap a ton of wrestling, all the wrestling shows that happened, and then we go over some of the shows to come. Royal Rumble is this weekend. We usually go over Friday shows, Saturday shows, any weekend shows, but since we have a premium live event Saturday, we pause and we do a special show the morning of. So on today's agenda, we're going to recap Raw, NXT, Dynamite. We're going to preview SmackDown, and also we are going to look at WWE 2K a little bit more in depth, some of the new features coming out, all that sort of thing. Everything you need to know this week. It was an action-packed week, and we still have a lot of wrestling to go. So, like I said, buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. But let's start off with some headlines. The first major headline that happened from Sunday to now is that Jordynne Grace is done with TNA. She's moving on, and she has signed a multi-year deal with WWE. Fans, everybody, reporters speculate her to return at the Royal Rumble this weekend. WWE 2K25 officially announced. That game will launch in March with three additions we'll get into later. Also announced is that the Clash in Paris, not Clash at the Castle, Clash in Paris will happen August 31st in Paris, France. And the last headline that we have for tonight's show is that Triple H, the Game, the Cerebral Assassin, is headed to the Hall of Fame. He'll be inducted and headline the class for WrestleMania 41. Like I said, that's a lot to digest, especially with the Jordynne Grace news. We're going to get her in WWE full-time now. She had a great run in NXT. WWE 2K, of course, we have a whole segment dedicated to that today. Clash in Paris was a surprise to me, especially after WWE kind of announced the week before they were going to have a PLE in Houston, Texas. So I like that this kind of shift to Paris. I think Paris is a great spot for a PLE. I thought they might do Saturday night's main event, but I think this is a good move. I think a PLE in Paris deserves bigger. Triple H Hall of Fame, great as well. Also a headline that I have is that JD McDonagh, his injury update, but let's get into that when we recap Raw, which we'll do right now. So Raw started out, it was awesome. Seth Rollins makes his entrance. I think Michael Cole is like, starts off like this, and then it goes, burn it down. And Seth Rollins comes out, and yeah. It was a good promo. He says that it's favorite time of the year and Royal Rumble season, opportunity, Netflix era, all this stuff. And then he's talking about the Royal Rumble, who he's going to toss over, talking about how he's going to win. Then bam, Gunther comes out. I was expecting maybe a CM Punk or Drew McIntyre to come out, but Gunther comes out, and Rollins and Gunther have some back and forth there. Rollins says that Gunther's world title would mean nothing. He created that title. He held that title first. All sorts of things. He wouldn't be wearing it right now if it wasn't for Seth Rollins. And yeah, he basically just says, Seth, you're not the best anymore. I am, which I agree with. I think he's a really good technical wrestler. I think his mic skills were on point tonight too. That was until Logan Paul makes his return to WWE, and he comes in. He is shouting through the boos, guys. He was hearing it, especially from the crowd. He couldn't get a word in, and we're getting more and more in that with these heels now, are getting booed out of the arena. Maybe you would have expected a better pop from Logan. Maybe Triple H expected a better pop for Logan, especially it being his first time back, but he heard the boos. He had to shout through them, and yeah. He's going to, he declares for the Royal Rumble. And yeah, it just kind of ends. No brawl, nothing like that. Just kind of a three-way back and forth. I'm not sure where this is going to go. Besides, outside of the Royal Rumble, I have a WrestleMania card prediction. I have it all done already, but that's going to be released Saturday. We're going to predict the WrestleMania matches Saturday. We have an awesome show Saturday, way better than the Saturday night's main event show. So please stay tuned and tune into that. It's going to be really fun. Next match of the night was for the WWE World Tag Team Championships, and this was Eric and Ivar, the War Raiders, taking on JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio of the Judgment Day. We have not seen Finn Balor since his departure after his loss on the debut of Raw on Netflix. This was a great match. I thought both teams looked really well, especially Ivar for his size. This podcast wasn't around, but he moves really, really good for his size. In the past, I've mentioned that to different people, mentioned it on the internet probably, but he moves really well for his size. Eric's a powerhouse. They work really well together. You can tell that they train together. They do all sorts of things together. They have great in-ring chemistry. And also JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio taking risks. That brings me to this. JD McDonagh actually broke his ribs and punctured his lung after a scary spot doing a moonsault off the apron ringside. He hit his back ribs, I would say, against the announce table. It was a scary moment for sure. And I'm just glad, everyone's glad he's all right. He tweeted out that he was okay, and we'll see him very soon. I have a good prediction with the Judgment Day going into the road to WrestleMania. I'm not sure how that's going to work, really, or if it is going to work. It's just kind of an idea, more of a dream match than a prediction. But, yep, the War Raiders retain, really solid match, especially JD powering through the pain there. That's hard to do. I've broken a rib before, and it hurts. That's not an easy thing to do. So kudos to JD McDonagh. We wish him a speedy recovery, and we hope to see him back in the ring soon. For Dominic Mysterio, we see him a little bit later with Liv Morgan. But for now, we'll move on. The New Day roll up, and it's Xavier Woods' hometown show. He invites his whole family. They have ringside seats ahead of his match between Rey Mysterio. And when they get out there, Xavier Woods' family is nowhere to be found. Absolutely nowhere to be found. So the match starts back and forth, Rey Mysterio, Xavier Woods. You get the classic Rey for a little bit. You get Xavier just trying to brawl his way through the match. But during the match, Xavier and Kofi kind of get cut off because Xavier Woods' family shows up in New Day Sucks shirts. It was hilarious. I don't know if that's his actual real family, but if it is, that's a great way to get them in on it. And it's just hilarious how they're getting booed, and we'll see where the story goes from here. I'm interested to see what they do. Rey Mysterio hits the 619 on Xavier Woods to close out the match. Rey Mysterio picks up another victory against one of the New Day members. We get an interview with Lyra Valkyria saying she's in the Rumble. We get Maxxine Dupri and Alpha Academy and America Made showing up. Maybe we get another match with them down the road. Who knows? But the next thing we do is a Jey Uso promo, kind of. The thing I think with him was he had a big entrance with Quavo, and that just sparked some interest around the internet. So I think that the main point of that was just to kind of get the fans up. He talks about how he was really close. He gets it. He's like, hey, I can beat this guy. So maybe we get a Jey Uso title shot down the road. I really, really hope in 2025 that he does get a world title, or at least a longer title run, not with the tag team, singles title run, because I think that he's improved so much. His charisma, his character, his in-ring skill is off the charts right now. He's on a hot streak, and I hope that WWE continues it. The next match we have is Bianca Belair and Naomi, who take on, I guess, the Judgment Day and Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. It's Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair to start. Liv kind of scrambling. Bianca tries to hit an early KOD, and Liv rushes to Raquel to tag her in, and we get two powerhouses to start the match. Good chemistry throughout the match. I think that all four of these women are fantastic wrestlers, and it showed during this match. We got an ad in the middle of the match. You know, I hate those, but we get an ad in the middle of the match, kind of ruins some of the momentum that we have going for this match. But, you know, Rodriguez and Liv Morgan had some momentum. And it, you know, it was really just a back and forth match. Like, you didn't know who was going to win, especially at the end there. You know, Liv Morgan tried to go for that for an oblivion. Bianca counters it, hits the KOD, and then inserts Dominic Mysterio. He comes to Liv and Raquel's aid. You know, we get a split leg moonsault. There's no count. It's no good. Not good enough to put Morgan and Raquel away. And then outside, we kind of have Raquel putting Naomi through the steel. And then Liv Morgan picks up a one-arm pin, rolls up Bianca, and gets a win for the Judgment Day. So they went 1-1 on the night, thanks to an assist, a little apple from Dirty Dominic Mysterio. And Liv seemed to be happy with her boyfriend after the match. I'll tell you that much. All right. Next thing we got here is the Paul Heyman segment, where Paul Heyman announced the cover of WWE 2K25. And I thought that this was cool, especially with, you know, Roman introducing whatever you want to call it. It's late. It's really late. It's past 11 o'clock here. So, you know, I have a hard time getting the words out with these late Wednesday episodes that come out on Thursday. But I think that after Roman did Paul's speech for the Hall of Fame and, you know, Heyman's introducing Reigns as the cover, you know, it really shows how close these two are. I think really in real life too, he's really truly part of the family. But of course, the party is interrupted by none other than Drew McIntyre. He says Paul looked a little bit nervous, but, you know, he just wants to talk. You know, he brags about winning the Royal Rumble. He eliminated Roman Reigns. He slayed the Beast at WrestleMania, left Paul Heyman without a client, maybe a Brock Lesnar return. I'm not really sure. You know, McIntyre kind of gets a little close to Heyman. Heyman's definitely uncomfortable. You know, Heyman's like, hey, what do you want? And Drew tells him it's like, hey, I'm going after Roman Reigns again on Saturday. And Paul just kind of is like, he'll pass the message along to the tribal chief. And then he's like, he's coming after, like, the whole segment was like, made it seem like Drew was going after Roman, like, hey, I'm going to eliminate him again. Paul's like, I'm going to give my word to the tribal chief. And then Drew's like, I'm not talking about the tribal chief. He goes, I'm talking about your boy, CM Punk. Which is kind of crazy. So I think it sets up both a possibility of, like, CM Punk and Drew in the Rumble together. Also, Roman and Drew. We'll see where that goes. Even Lesnar, I thought that mention was kind of crazy too. You know, Heyman agrees to tell CM Punk, and Drew's like, run. So, you know, Heyman scurries out there. But I think that this is going to be an awesome Royal Rumble match. Like, I'm really, really excited for this Royal Rumble match. Like, I really don't know what is going to happen. There's so many WWE superstars that could win both the male and female match. But this male match is heating up. It's heating up for sure. And that kind of leads into the Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn match. After last week where Sami Zayn accidentally, they say accidentally, I think it was an accident, hit a haluva kick on Seth Rollins instead of on Drew McIntyre. This is kind of the backlash from that. Again, another back and forth. Good technical wrestling from these two. Commercial in the middle of it. You know, Zayn dodges a claymore. And he kind of starts that comeback. Tries the Blue Thunder bomb. Denied. McIntyre, you know, kind of had the momentum throughout the match. I didn't think there was a doubt in my mind that he was going to win this match. But Drew McIntyre actually won with a schoolboy pin, and he put his feet on the ropes for leverage and for power. So, you know, he kind of cheated in a way, whatever you want to call it. And ending, fine, whatever, rushed. I thought that Drew was going to win anyways. I don't think Sammy had a shot in this match. But I'm fine with the way it ended because Drew McIntyre goes after and brutally assaults Sammy, punching away, and then boom, the undisputed champion Cody Rhodes comes in. He tries hard to fend off Drew McIntyre. He gets him in the same position that Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre were in last week, and then Sami Zayn lines up the haluva kick and lands it on Cody instead of Drew again. So 2 weeks in a row, Seth says, "Hey Sammy, you do something like that again, I can't trust you." So we'll see about this Seth Rollins trust, especially with Saturday. Kevin Owens came out. He seemed pretty happy with what Sami Zayn did there. So I think that, excuse me, I think that we're, again, just set up for an awesome Royal Rumble match. And this was an awesome segment. And, you know, Cody's down. We go to commercial, actually. Cody's down. He's still down. He comes up. Cody's about to cut a promo. And CM Punk comes out. And they absolutely cook with this promo. Cody talking about how he lost friends. Or CM Punk talks about how Cody lost friends and how he wants to be Bruno Sammartino. He wants to be John Cena. He wants to be all the greatest of all time. But no one in this industry is Superman. CM Punk has to remind him that. He says that, you know, there's a target on your back and everybody's going to come for you. And Cody's like, "Well, you're my friend. So tell me, what do you see? What do you see in my future?" And, you know, Punk starts off pretty good. He's like, "Hey, you're going to sleep in your own bed tonight. You're going to go home with your wife and your daughter. You're going to sleep in your own bed. This is your city, blah, 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 blah." But he goes, "In long term, he's probably not going to sleep at all because he's got one of the biggest matches of his life against Kevin Owens. And if he gets past Kevin Owens, which will be hard to do, CM Punk is coming for Cody." CM Punk says that he's coming for Cody and he's going to stab him in the front like a good friend instead of stabbing him in the back like a good friend. And Cody's like, "Hey, for the first time in my career, you're chasing me and I'm not chasing you. So I'll see you at the top." I think that these two had an awesome promo. If you have a chance, for sure, go back and watch it. They did so much more than what I said, but just for time purposes, I kind of wanted to keep this on somewhat the shorter side. But yeah, I think this sets up a great Cody Rhodes and CM Punk match down the road. Now, for WrestleMania, I don't think that this match will happen at WrestleMania just because of the way the momentum is going with Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre. We'll see what happens. I have a different prediction for CM Punk. And stay tuned for the kickoff show on Saturday because we're going to go over all of that. We're going to go over my plans for CM Punk, my plans for Cody, my Royal Rumble winner. All that stuff will be predicted on Saturday. So make sure you catch that show. And this kind of ended the night for sure. But this ended the show. Netflix went out. I went to bed. And I woke up the next morning to see that Carmelo Hayes tried to attack Cody Rhodes post-show. And that went horribly for him because he ended up going through a table. I think that's a great way to, you know, just boost Cody's character, especially in his hometown. super cool to see. I think Carmelo Hayes is the perfect guy for that job. You know, he's really willing to do anything. And yeah, that was Raw. Raw overall, I think that there was, I wanted to say this, mention this for the Dynamite episode. There was a lot, there's a lot of wrestling that happens on AEW. And, you know, there's not a ton of, like, whole promo cutting. I think that the majority of this show is, like, promos. Like, you get Jey Uso, you get Paul Heyman, Drew McIntyre, of course, Cody and CM Punk, Rollins and Gunther to open the show. Like, we got one, two, three, four. We got four matches. I have four matches. We got four matches in 3 hours. And it was like, actually, no. No, it was like 2.5. It was 10:25, I think the show ended. But only four matches, and AEW did five, I believe. Let me check. They did one, two, three, five. They did one more than WWE in 30 less minutes. So I think that's definitely something WWE can work on going into the future. But yeah. It wasn't a bad show. Like I said, I think it sets up a really good Royal Rumble. It's just that go-home show that everyone's looking for. Nothing special was ever really bound to happen, but definitely stuff to keep you interested for Saturday, for sure. Okay, that transitions me into NXT. But before we get into NXT, I just want to say that on Sunday's episode, we went over the top three, the best AEW matches of the month. So every week we'll get a match, basically, or like there's four matches that I pick, one honorable mention, and then my top three. The thing is, like, one for each week. I'm going to save that for Sunday's episode, Sunday, February 2nd's episode. I'm gonna do that, look over January, because I think that, A, I wanted to keep this show on the short side, and we're already approaching 20 minutes, and B, because we can't do it Saturday because we have an action-packed jam show for you guys. I'm not forgetting about that. I will come back to that. Just give me a couple more days where we can fit it into a schedule for this show. Okay. Next up, NXT. I thought NXT was great. There was four matches for NXT. Just like the four from Raw, and I thought all four were very high quality. NXT started out with Bayley and Julia taking on Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. You know, I think that this was really good. I think that the storyline between Roxanne Perez, Bayley, Julia, Cora Jade, like Masha Slamovich is now kind of like, it's all bunched up, tangled up. But we're going to get Bayley versus Julia versus Roxanne Perez at Vengeance Day, which is pretty neat. That was announced later in the show. But this was a great way to start off NXT, especially with a good crowd for an NXT event in Atlanta. The setup was fine. It was kind of like that AEW setup, which I didn't like. So I didn't really like it. It was a short ramp. Whatever, it wasn't the best, but they definitely crammed in and packed, and they did what they had to do, so kudos to them. And this match cooked. It was a great match. All four had great in-ring chemistry with each other. I love that, you know, Julia and Bayley worked really well together, and they kind of really went after Cora Jade. You know, Bayley with the elbow drop on Cora Jade to end the match. And then later in the show, Roxanne Perez is like, well, Bayley didn't beat me. She beat Cora. And Cora was all upset about that. So we'll see what happens with Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. A little sneak peek at Saturday. I'll give you a sneak peek. Is I have all four of these women in the Royal Rumble match on Saturday. Bayley, Julia, Roxanne Perez, and Cora Jade. I have all four of them in the Royal Rumble match. So if you want to hear more about that, Saturday it is. Tune in. So just kind of reiterating, Julia and Bayley pick up the win over Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. More is definitely to come with this little rivalry that they have going on here, especially with a match coming up in just a couple of weeks at Vengeance Day in Washington, D.C. Next up, we have the Grayson Waller effect, featuring the NXT champion, Obafemi. And things kind of went sideways for Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Theory says that he sees Femi as a future main eventer on the main roster, and that I read that in my notes wrong. Theory says that while people see Oba as a future main eventer, him and Grayson Waller do not. And then Femi's like, well, you were never NXT champion, right? And that kind of turns into a whole like back and forth arguing match. The crowd is chanting, turn on him, turn on him, or something like that. They wanted Austin Theory to turn on Grayson Waller mid promo, which I thought was hilarious. This kind of really upset Grayson Waller and Austin Theory's feelings. And so they do what any person does. And Ava Rain actually comes out and schedules a triple threat match at Vengeance Day for the NXT Championship between Obafemi, Grayson Waller, and Austin Theory. Somebody that did not like this news was Trick Williams, who we saw backstage looking on very upset with this segment and Ava's decision to do that. So he kind of makes his way to the ring, and he starts swinging at Grayson Waller and at Austin Theory, and then Obafemi gets the last laugh and annihilates Trick Williams. And that's when Wes Lee comes out for his match against Trick Williams. Trick Williams already banged up, but he looked like he made a good recovery there. Williams made a good recovery. He pulled the momentum back in his way. We get a commercial, and then Wes Lee has some of the momentum. Momentum definitely swung a couple times. But these two really do hate each other, and we're probably going to get another match because Wes Lee won by disqualification because Trick Williams grabs a chair as the official tries to get Trick Williams calmed down because of all the distractions that's going on ringside. But, Trick doesn't listen. Trick does not put the chair down. And the referee disqualifies him, which I think is great. I think that we need more refs being up front, being like, hey, you can't do this. Like, I think there's been a lot of leeway with the refs and all this stuff. And the ref hasn't really been the ref. It's just kind of been like a mentor and a guide for those superstars throughout the match. But no, I think that, hey, being like, hey, disqualified. Great. Perfect. I mean, it was a DQ. But I think that the more DQs we get, the better, because it leaves a door open for rematches, further the storyline, etc. And I wasn't mad with the decision of this match, especially after we get the Trick Williams kind of we get the Trick Williams segment with Ava after the match. Trick Williams kind of goes in there and voices his concern for his title shot. Okay. The next match of the night is Fallon Henley versus Shotzi for the Women's North American Championship. And like I said, I don't know if I said this. I don't think Shotzi had any chance. I don't think Shotzi had a shot. I don't think she had a chance against Fallon Henley. I think Fallon Henley's been a good champion. I think Shotzi, I knew that we were getting Fallon Henley and Stephanie Vaquer. I think that this was kind of just a filler match. It was a good match, too. Shotzi with a lot of great athleticism. She had a great Hurricane Rana to start. Good Enziguri. Henley... Fallon Henley kind of wears Shotzi's knee down, jams her boot into the corner, hits a Boston Crab, all sorts of stuff. I think Fallon Henley was just was just the better technical wrestler in this match, and she retains her title. And on the way back to the locker room, Stephanie Vaquer's music hits, and she appears on the entrance ramp, and her and Henley have a stare down. Henley holds up the North American Championship. They have a face-off stare down. And then moments later, that match is announced for Vengeance Day on February 15th too. So we're just getting a ton of matches announced on this NXT. And the NXT leading up should be good, but I'm super excited for Vengeance Day. I think it's going to be an awesome card. It has an awesome card already, and I'm sure we're going to get more matches as we go. Especially Ethan Page and Javon Evans will probably happen then too, because the next match of the night is Ethan Page versus Cedric Alexander. Alexander, you know, kind of wastes no time, shows him who the veteran is. Ethan Page is kind of slow, but Page, you know, kind of picks it back up. He sends Cedric Alexander into the ring apron, spine first. He kind of is targeting, I think, Alexander's hand. Cedric Alexander tries to fight off Ethan Page, but ultimately it's not enough. Page hits him with like that twisting cutter and picks up the victory. And then after the match, again, it's like Drew McIntyre. Ethan Page kind of just continued to beat down Cedric Alexander, but Javon Evans kind of comes in and saves the day, and him and Page kind of brawl away into the commercial break. All right, main event time of the night for NXT. It was Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, the Metaphor, taking on Naomi and Bianca Belair for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. And although I did think that Bianca and Naomi would retain, I wasn't quite sure, especially with kind of the more tag teams on NXT recently. And this was a good match. Like I said, I think Jakara Jackson looked amazing during this match. Lash Legend looked all right too. And I think the Metaphor is a great, the Meta Girls are a great tag team. And I think both of them are going to fare well on the main roster very, very soon. I love that it was Bianca and Lash Legend to start the match too. Just two absolute powerhouses. Bianca couldn't really pick her up. You saw that throughout the match too. The veteran presence of Naomi and Bianca Belair were definitely in effect. You could see why they're main eventers on the main roster, former women's champions on the main roster, and these girls are just starting the Metaphor. They're going to be awesome one day, mark my words. But on NXT, the main event, it wasn't enough to defeat Naomi and Bianca Belair, unfortunately. Although that this match was, in my opinion, the best match of the night. I don't know. I think it was the longest match of the night. And like I said, it had a lot of back and forth. Like, I really didn't know who was going to win. Although when Bianca and Naomi did retain, I wasn't really surprised, but needless to say, it was an awesome match, and the Metaphor have a really bright future ahead of themselves, and Naomi and Bianca Belair, they have a lot on their plate with Jade Cargill possibly coming back, and they're both in the Royal Rumble, so they got that to look forward to next week. And as NXT ends, we kind of get this blurred screen, and it says Vengeance Day, and it goes off air. In my prediction for that kind of cutscene at the end, it's all over, it's on social media. If you look up NXT cutscene or whatever, it's like a colored bar screen. It just said Vengeance Day on it. My guess is since NXT invaded Genesis, TNA will invade NXT, and we'll see all sorts of, Masa Slamovich. Maybe we get Joe Hendry out there. Maybe we get the Hardy Boys. I'm hoping for the Hardy Boys, but we'll see. All in all, actually a pretty good NXT show. I had really no complaints with how this NXT show went. Maybe besides the Austin Theory Grayson Waller match, I think that it's not necessary, but hey, if that's what they're going to, if that's what's going to get them viewers, that's what's going to get them viewers. And yeah, nothing we can do to change it now. That was NXT. Pretty good show. We'll definitely see some, I hope we see some NXT superstars at the Royal Rumble this weekend, but if we don't, we'll see them next Tuesday night. And that transitions into the next segment, which is the WWE 2K in-depth look. Something I want to say about NXT in this video game before I start with a look is that NXT superstars, historically, some have been left out. But from my understanding is that we're getting like 300 plus superstars. So expect a lot more NXT superstars in WWE 2K25. All right. So there's actually going to be three editions for WWE 2K25. The Standard Edition, the Dead Man Edition, and the Bloodline Edition. The Bloodline Edition is going to be your most expensive one. That one is actually going to come out first. So people that order that one, I think it's $130. You guys can play that one before the Dead Man and the Standard Edition. Next one is the Dead Man Edition. That one comes out, I think, a couple days after. That one's like around $190, $100, something like that. And with these two editions, you're going to get some packs for my faction, maybe some DLC, but mostly just starter packs for my faction. And then the Standard Edition, that one's going to be $70. And something to note about all three editions is if you pre-order any three, you're going to get the Wyatt 6 DLC pack. I think it's stupid that the Wyatt 6 are not just directly in the game, especially because Eric Rowan was the only superstar not in WWE 2K24. So it's a little selfish for 2K. But so that's kind of, I will be pre-ordering the game so I can get these guys in the DLC. But yeah, make sure you pre-order if you want the Wyatt 6. If not, you're probably going to have to pay for them. And then if we get them like just imported into the game, like halfway through, like after WrestleMania, I'll be even more kind of pissed. But actually, I won't, because I like the game, pre-order anyways. Nothing better to do. Something I want to talk about, one of my wishes for WWE 2K forever, this has been forever, is that I know that they do the DLC where, you know, it's a money grab. You got to buy the superstar packs. You know, Lyra Valkyria pack kind of came out with, same with the CM Punk, the Dudley Boys, the stupid Pat McAfee pack. But I think, like, especially with, like, NHL, like, the video game, NHL video game, NBA 2K, Madden, MLB The Show, like, their rosters get updated with, like, different gear and all that stuff. So I think that the DLCs are fine, but at least update some of the gear. Like, WWE 2K24, you can play it right now, and Bayley still wears damage control pants. Like, you have to go into, like, the community creations to get a Bayley without damage control pants. So I'd love to see them fix that. Will they? That's not announced yet, but let's talk about what is announced. What is announced is the cross-gender matches. What I mean by that is, like, you're going to be able to play Dominic Mysterio versus Rhea Ripley. You're going to get to be able to put Nia Jax in the Royal Rumble match. And also for, like legends, like, you're going to get to put Chyna, if she's in the game, against other superstars, male superstars. Like, you can put Chyna against Hulk Hogan, like something crazy like that. Something new to WWE 2K is the island mode, much like the city in NBA 2K, where you can interact with other players, do live events, challenges, collect certain things, all that kind of stuff. That is going to be in WWE 2K. I'm interested to see how it looks. Maybe you get your own character, whatever, but it's like the Island of Relevancy. It's going to be Bloodline themed for sure. And we're getting that. So I'm super excited to see what that looks like. I'm not sure what it's going to look like in a WWE game. I know what it looks like in an NBA 2K game. So we'll definitely see. I think we just have to wait and see. Maybe for a trailer, more updates. But when we get those updates, we'll let you know. Something else Bloodline related is you're going to be able to play underground matches and Bloodline rules match. Chain wrestling is back in 2K, which is a great thing for the game. In the Bloodline rules match too, I'm not sure how that's going to like really work yet, but that is announced for the game. Also, we get a whole new bunch of upgrades for GM, My GM mode, and Universe mode. My GM, you're going to be able to trade between, you're going to be able to trade, sign free agents, start wars between your different brands. I'm more personally more of a Universe mode guy. Promos are back, and they have announced new updates. I'm not sure what that looks like for Universe mode. It's going to be more of a personal experience. You can kind of have total control. And if you're someone like me, I have a whole spreadsheet that tracks my matches, storylines, champions, all that stuff. So match cards, everything. So promos are a huge one for Universe mode. And new updates to showcase mode, which is also going to feature a Bloodline showcase where you're going to start with like Rikishi and you're going to go all the way through probably the new Bloodline with Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, Solo Sikoa, all that good stuff. And the last small thing is that there's a new barricade dive feature. So you're going to be able to put people through the barricade, probably near that timekeeper area, kind of like how you can put someone through the cage in Hell in a Cell. So yeah, a lot to look forward to in this new game. I'm actually for once excited. I didn't get 2K23 because I had 22 and I didn't want to buy the same game. So I bought 24 and I'm like, I was low key a little disappointed about it, but, WWE 2K25 is definitely something I can get up and get excited for. All right, let's shift our focus to AEW. I know I've kind of been rambling here for a little longer than I wanted to, but I hope that I can kind of get through this quick for you guys so we can get out of here. The first match of the night opened up, Will Ospreay and Brian Cage. Brian Cage is an animal, by the way. I watched his match at Maximum Carnage, but like I just realized tonight like how much of steroids I think he's taking. Hopefully that's not – I hope that's not an offensive thing to say because I don't mean it offensive. He just looks gigantic. Ospreay, great charisma, comes out great. And these two had a great match. I thought that I was like – it was like 8:15, like 15 minutes into the show, and they were still going. So – yeah, it was great. There was a lot of distractions during the match, especially with Kenny Omega being attacked backstage and, you know, Lance and Brian being ringside, kind of being a big distraction to Will Ospreay. But that doesn't faze him. Will Ospreay is able to defeat Brian Cage by pinfall. But after the match, Lance and Brian attack Will and they beat him down until Kenny Omega comes out with a chair. He hits Brian and Lance before checking on Will Ospreay, but unfortunately, Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher show up. Ospreay and Omega's opponent, that Grand Slam, show up, and they hit pile drivers on Kenny and Will. That ends that segment, and yeah. That was it. Kind of just Takeshita and Fletcher stood tall over Omega and Ospreay. My prediction is that Omega and Ospreay will win that match. But needless to say, great wrestling throughout the match. Next match of the night was Claudio Castagnoli versus The Last Outlaw, Jeff Jarrett. And it was kind of interesting to see. I was like, you know, I'm like, oh, this is going to kind of be sad. Jeff Jarrett's out of shape. Castagnoli's a great wrestler. All this stuff. He's athletic. He's in shape. All this. But Jeff Jarrett put on a great fight. Like, they needed Wheeler Utah and Jon Moxley to help Castagnoli out. Excuse me. I'm sorry for that. They needed Utah and Moxley to help get Castagnoli the W. Jeff Jarrett falls short. And we'll see what happens. Maybe a match between him and MJF, maybe a number one contenders match or something like that. I thought that we were going to get him and Cope, but maybe we're going to get something else. Who knows? And then, you know, MJF, he struts out to the ring. And MJF kind of was like, I told you so, whatever, strikes him, strikes Jeff Jarrett, knocks him out cold. And it's kind of like, I respect my elders, but so I don't want to tell you, I told you so, disrespects him, throws the mic. So we'll definitely get some more MJF Jeff Jarrett next week for sure. Next match, we have a little backstage interview with Renee. I'm so lost. There's a lot of backstage interviews, like trying to find Swerve Strickland, and you know, they run into MJF. That was before the MJF match. I don't write like backstage promos down, so I'm just trying to remember. I think it was Hangman Page was looking for Swerve, and then Page bumped into MJF that teased that match. I'm talking in circles, I'm sorry. But there was an interview with Ricochet. I forget, really. I wasn't really locked in on Dynamite tonight. Sorry about that. But Ricochet and AR Fox had a match. I had a Ricochet and Swerve Strickland's match on Dynamite next week. I think the best spot of this match was the dual cross body that they hit on each other. I love that move. I wish that they did it more in WWE. I think I've seen it more in AEW. But that was a pretty good move. You know, AR Fox kind of came back and late in the match, but you know, Ricochet's momentum got the better of AR Fox. Ricochet was able to pick up another victory here. And then Swerve Strickland comes out after, and he kind of tries to gets involved. And we get that lasting image of Swerve, Ricochet, AR Fox kind of all in the ring doing their thing. And like I said, Swerve Strickland and Ricochet will happen next week on Dynamite. We'll talk more about that on Sunday. And then there's more backstage promos, I think, about it's like the learning tree, the Outrunners, Moxley, Claudio. It was kind of confusing. I'm genuinely, like, serious. I was not paying attention to Dynamite really tonight. And that's my fault. I should have been. I apologize for that. I did write the matches down. I just didn't have great notes on the matches. I kind of just wrote the matches and their winners down. So I'm kind of like looking at a live blog right now to kind of see what happened in between the segments. I want to know more about the segments. Oh yeah, Big Bill talks about, oh yeah, I remember this. Big Bill, backstage, Big Bill talks about like taking out Powerhouse Hobbs and, Chris Jericho gets all the credit for it. And, he's kind of bragging and boasting and all this stuff. So maybe we get a Jericho and Powerhouse Hobbs match. Maybe we get the learning tree breaking up. Who knows? The next match was Jay White in Wheeler, Utah. Is like, why are we getting Wheeler, Utah, like coming out and like, do we need the Death Riders and so many storylines? Like, this is my problem. Like, it's like when I first started watching AEW, in December 2024. I never watched it before I thought about starting a podcast on wrestling. And when I did, I'm like, I should watch AEW because I don't want to leave anything. Like, I want this to be all wrestling. Like, I strictly watch WWE. But when I started getting into AEW at first, it was confusing. It was hard to follow. You didn't know the storylines or whatnot. So if you are an AEW, if you're a WWE fan watching AEW and you see Cope and Pac go at it last week and the 12-man and Cope and Moxley storyline building up, and then now it's Moxley and Jeff Jarrett and MJF is in the picture and they're all bundled up in a ton of different storylines. It's just confusing and hard to follow, and you got to be super locked in on it, and I wasn't. So I'm at first was a little confused, but I definitely picked it up. But now again, it's just like, why is Wheeler Utah back out here taking on Jay White? Jay White beat Wheeler Utah by pinfall. By the way, sorry. I was just reading the backstage segments. And then, oh yeah, the Death Riders get involved, and then FTR gets out there and they challenge the Death Riders to a match next week. Cope comes out, and you know, Death Riders kind of scurry out of there. So like, then you got, that's that. That's what I was talking about. That's the Cope coming back out. That's that storyline. But then you're getting the Jeff Jarrett storyline. Like I love Jeff Jarrett. Just let it go. Let it go. They have much better things to focus on ahead of Grand Slam, like an Adam Copeland and a John Moxley steel cage match. I hope that they do that. It'd be so sick. And then this was actually the segment I wrote down because it's worth noting, the Mariah May segment. She seemed very distraught after what happened on Collision. I was able to watch some clips from Collision, although I didn't watch it because of Saturday night's main event. I was able to watch some of it. And it was actually a pretty good show. Mariah May, Timeless, Toni Storm is back. If you could take away one thing from Collision on Saturday night, Timeless, Toni Storm is back. And Mariah May definitely seemed a little distraught. She was unhappy. She's like, it's great to be in Huntsville, but I suggest that we change the first letter in Huntsville from an H to a C. You figure that out. Mariah kind of snaps at Renee and she's like, Toni Storm isn't a real person. Tony's most memorable moment was bleeding out and crying in her hands at All In. She says Toni Storm walked out of Japan and Mexico and AEW for a little bit because she couldn't touch Mariah May. And so I think it's, again, sets up a really good match at Grand Slam. I'm actually excited for Grand Slam. I think it's going to be a pretty good pay-per-view from what I have written down and from what they've been advertising and building up. I think it's going to be great, and I'm excited for it. And then the main event, we get Mercedes Moné. She takes on Yuka Sakazaki. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm sorry if I'm not. But again, like I said, I didn't take notes on this match. Mercedes Moné beats Sakazaki by pinfall to retain the TBS championship. I can't grade this show, to be completely honest with you. I can't grade the show. A, it's late right now. And B, I wasn't focused on Dynamite. What I will say about Dynamite, though, is I love that it was just wrestling, 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 wrestling. Like promos second, vignettes second, vignettes, whatever you want to call them, wrestling first. Like they say, this is where the best wrestler, whatever. Like, okay, you can make a case because, like, your show is wrestling. Like, this is wrestling. Like, you guys do wrestle here, and WWE did a lot of promo stuff on Monday. So, like, we'll see. I think it's a give and take, really. It's just a give and take. This week, AEW had more wrestling. And I think that's what it came down to, which probably made it a great show. I was kind of checked out doing other things. And some of those other things were getting ready for Saturday's show, Countdown to the Royal Rumble, where we hope you all can join us. I'm really hopeful you guys can join us. I have a great show lined up, and it's gonna be fun. It's probably gonna be my best show yet, so I'm very excited and very passionate about it. All right, before we wrap this up, let's just talk about SmackDown on Friday. There's definitely a lot more matches advertised right now. We're probably gonna get more as the show goes on and as we get closer. But the first match we get is a United States Women's Championship match. I think that this one is interesting because it will, A, either start a whole new story with Meechan being champion, or B, just end this story, which I think it needs to do is just end this story. My prediction for this match is I don't see Chelsea Green losing. Like, I don't think there's a point in her losing. I think she'll carry the title to Mania. I'm taking Chelsea Green over Meechan for the U.S. Women's Championship. We're also getting Naomi and Liv Morgan in a singles match. We'll see if Dirty Dom and Raquel have any tricks up their sleeves. You can never count Liv Morgan out, and that's why I'm going to take her to get the victory over Naomi, even though Naomi has Belair in her corner. We also have the Motor City Machine Guns and Los Garza teaming up, taking on DIY and Pretty Deadly in an 8-man tag team match. I think it's kind of cool that Los Garza is kind of going face here, especially ahead of Motor City Machine Gun and DIY's match at Royal Rumble. Love that. I love that this tag team match is getting attention and the spotlight in front of a large crowd this Saturday. For purposes of the story, I think DIY and Pretty Deadly are going to get a win here. And then on Saturday, we'll get a different result. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Don't want to spoil anything for my show on Saturday. But I think DIY and Pretty Deadly will get the job done on SmackDown. Not sure if we get the same result on Saturday. And also, we get Jey Uso taking on Carmelo Hayes. This one, really a toss-up for me, too. Jimmy Uso kind of on a hot streak right now, just trying to get his career going as a singles competitor. His brother has exceeded expectations, and Carmelo Hayes obviously just trying to find a way and not get buried. I think WWE is burying him right now. He'll probably continue to get buried and lose to Jimmy Uso, although I hope that he gets the W against Jimmy tomorrow night. Also promoted for SmackDown is LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, so maybe we'll get some dialogue between those three because possible storyline there as well. We're also getting the WWE Women's Champion, Tiffany Stratton. It's going to be Tiffy time in Indianapolis. And then, of course, we're going to get Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. They're also promoted. One more time, one more brawl probably ahead of their match on Saturday. I think it's going to be a good SmackDown. I don't expect much. I expect a lot of dialogue, maybe more people declaring, more women declaring for the Rumble, more men. I don't think we are, but maybe we'll see John Cena or Roman Reigns. That would be kind of cool because we haven't seen them since the premiere on Netflix. But if we don't, that's all right as well. Because, again, I think we're just gearing up towards a great show Saturday. All right, that was kind of a lot. I kind of rushed that ending, just like WWE has rushed some of the endings of their matches this month. But I rushed the ending of this because, A, I didn't want to go over an hour. I wanted this to be like 45 minutes, but we're already at like 57 minutes. So I'm going to end it now. This was just a jam-packed week of wrestling. You can kind of see I'm worn out. I was zoned out for Dynamite. But I'll be locked in for SmackDown on Friday and, of course, the Royal Rumble on Saturday. As always, thank you guys so much for taking your time and listening, even if it's background noise. We appreciate every listen that we get, every download that we get. I do this because I love it, and I hope that you guys listen because you love it too. And I hope that I make sense. I hope that I'm not just rambling and babbling over my words here. I hope I'm making sense, and I hope that you guys enjoy the show. And I hope you enjoyed this show titled Good Friends, because CM Punk and Cody Rhodes are good friends, and Kevin Owens and Sammy, there's a lot of good friends. Good friends. Good vibes. Good vibes from the show. Good vibes. And with that, good friends, good vibes, we're going to end it here. Good night. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Have a great day, great night, great morning, whenever you're listening to this. We hope you're well, as always. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. Have a good night, everybody. Goodbye.